What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Dad Needs to Talk. I'm your host, Robert, and today, I have a lot of stuff to catch up on, and we'll see how much we get through, because today, I need to talk about Dune 2, which I've seen twice, and, of course, the passing of a legend, Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, passed away last week. And there's several other things I want to touch on as well, but before I get into all that, as always, Daddy's Talk is a place full of conversations, discussions, interviews, and reviews surrounding fatherhood and family, manga, anime, TV, movies, and video games. And as always, if this is your first time here, then welcome, but if you're a returning listener and or watcher, then welcome back. Man, I did that backwards, but we're going to roll with it. Oh, man. It has been busy times, y'all. I hope everybody out there that is listening and or watching is doing well or at least doing the best that you can do. Just because I know we all probably going through a lot of stuff. Life is crazy right now, all across the board. But yeah, like it. This week my kids are on spring break, but it doesn't fully feel like that to me anymore. Just because, you know, for one, obviously I still have work, but it's like we still have activities and stuff, a little bit to do here and there, and I feel like that has been like a big stressor for me lately, because it's kind of a, how did I phrase it? Because I texted my wife this earlier. What did I say? The stress of opportunity. Because obviously I can't go into too much detail and stuff, whatever, but loss of, and I mentioned this before, whatever, how there's always people reaching out, but it's like lately there's been some strong reach out of people wanting my oldest son to come and play for their respective team or whatever, or organization, whatever the case may be or whatever. And it's, on one hand, it's good and cool and flattering, but it's also a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, just because, especially because, like, a lot of stuff has happened in, like, the last week or whatever that's kind of, like, you know, doors opening up in certain ways, but, like I said, just trying to focus and not get overwhelmed by everything, because my son, he went and played with a old former coach over the weekend. This coach, shout out to Coach Malcolm, reached out to him last week and was like, hey, is he free? I'm putting together a little team or whatever, da 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 da. So they went and did their thing. They conquered and they dominated. And my son brought home another big, beautiful trophy. Tell my wife we gotta get a freaking proper trophy case or trophy shelf or something, because we're getting overwhelmed with all this stuff. But yeah, so, you know, like I said, that went good. And then another potential opportunity popped up earlier today where somebody was like, hey, I'm putting together something or whatever, and we're going to be going to Oklahoma. And it's like, great. So, like I said, it's cool that these opportunities and stuff are coming up. But I told my wife, is this potentially a glimpse of things to come? You know, once we get into like junior, senior year of high school, starting to deal with college, recruit stuff, whatever. Just because I know somebody at work who has a kid who is a top-ranked football player in Texas, who is currently dealing with this, with having to travel across the country to go visit different schools and dealing with scholarships and all this stuff, whatever. And it's just like, I know this, like, what we're dealing with is like a small fraction of that, but it's still just like, man, like this little bit is like a little bit stressful as is. And it's like, I can't even imagine, you know, when we get a handful of years from now and stuff. So, but aside from that, you know, we're trying to chill and enjoy, the spring break time or whatever. Though I might take some time for myself next week once they're back in school, take a day or two for myself. I don't know yet, but that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. But I am also a few days away from the third year anniversary of this podcast. Still don't know if I'm going to try to record something on that day later this week or if I might just save it for next week. I don't know. But that is something else that's kind of like on the back of my mind a little bit. It's just like, man, like I've really been doing this for 3 years, since March 14th, 2021. Just kind of crazy and stuff. So, but enough about all that. I do kind of want to start diving into some of the stuff, whatever. And of course, as always, there will be timestamps for all these different things. But of course, those of y'all watching the video, I'm rocking my Vegeta It's Over 9000 shirt. And of course, this very nice Dragon Ball jacket with Goku on the back. And the Dragon Ball and Shenron and all that stuff. Man, the passing of Toriyama. Now, I found this out just by happenstance because I think I had saw Dragon Ball and maybe his name trending on Twitter the other night when the news broke. But I ain't cooking. I'm, you know, it's like, okay, you know, there's always something to talk about, some discussion online about Dragon Ball and stuff, whatever. So I don't know why, but I happened to get on Twitch and hop into one of my online mutuals, Courtney, and she was streaming. So I was like, okay, let me see what's going on or whatever. And she seemed a little distraught. And then, you know, because I kind of, you know, kind of came in the middle of a discussion or whatever. And then she was kind of like, okay, all right, well, let me try to get myself together. You know, that news, I think she said that news in the, that was dropped in the chat caught me off guard. So I scroll back up through the chat and I see Toriyama passed. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I rushed to Twitter. And of course, they officially announced his passing. So he actually passed on March 1st, but of course the family, to honor the family's wishes and stuff, you know, they didn't officially announce the news until, you know, some days later. And I'm gonna see if I can find the official statement real quick. And man, it is just, I've loved the outpouring of the community worldwide, all the amazing fan art, all of the letters and messages from other mangaka and artists and just different people across the world who were touched by this series. So the official statement was, "Dear friends and partners, we're deeply saddened to inform you that manga creator Akira Toriyama passed away on March 1st due to acute subdural hematoma. He was 68 years old. It's our deep regret that he still has several works in the middle of creation with great enthusiasm. Also, he would have many more things to achieve. However, he has left many manga titles and works of art to this world. Thanks to the support of so many people around the world, he has been able to continue his creative activities for over 45 years. We hope that Akira Toriyama's unique world of creation continues to be loved by everyone for a long time to come." And I'll just stop it there, whatever. Yeah, that was like very soul-crushing news to hear. Just because I know like this series means so much to myself and to a lot of people. Well, I had went to go look because I thought I could have sworn I thought I had like a some piece of like some art and stuff I had from back from my childhood, but who knows where that's at. But yeah, but this series, man, it means a lot to me, means a lot to a lot of us. And as for myself and my history with Dragon Ball, like a lot of people, grew up watching it on Toonami, coming home from school every day. So I was a kid who stayed on top of my schoolwork, because staying on top of my schoolwork gave me unlimited freedom. Because, you know, like I mentioned before, I have older siblings, but it's a big gap. So I essentially grew up by myself, more or less. And so as long as I kept my grades and stuff up, I had A's and B's from pre-K all the way through high school for the most part. As long as I kept my grades and stuff up or whatever, hey, my mama and grandma, they didn't care if I was watching TV, playing video games, go to friends' houses, whatever, because it's like, okay, hey, every 6 weeks, them report cards come. All right, cool. Look good. No phone calls, nothing from the school. I was a clean-nosed kid, stay out of trouble. And so, because most of my childhood, I mainly would go out to the country, to my grandma's house, whatever, after school most days, especially in my younger years before I became a teenager. And so it was a long bus ride, like well over an hour plus, maybe a couple hours. And so I would do my schoolwork. If I didn't already do it before I left school, I would get it done on the bus. So that, hey, when I got home, I ain't got to worry about no schoolwork. I can just play my video games, play my Game Boy, and watch Toonami. And so, of course, coming home, watching freaking Dragon Ball Z. That was a highlight of my youth. It was a highlight of my day. It was like, man, I just make it through this day of school, and I can see what adventures and stuff Goku and the crew are going on. And then, of course, you know, I didn't get introduced to Dragon Ball until later, because, you know, at least in my memory, for me, it didn't air until sometime later on or whatever. And so that was just very interesting to kind of get to see this series from a different perspective of, okay, these characters that I've come to know and love, it's, oh, okay, now this is them as kids growing up, how they kind of first got everything started. And so, to this day, it is just like so many memorable moments, because I'm looking at my screen right now. There's a moment I watch a few times a year on YouTube, and that is Vegeta's final atonement scene. And it hits me every freaking time. That scene, when Gohan loses it versus Cell. So many moments, man. So many moments. And not even just Dragon Ball, but just like some of his other works and stuff. Like I never got too much into Dr. Slump and some of his other series like that. But his influence of like being a character designer for the Dragon Quest series and for Chrono Trigger. And Chrono Trigger is a series that I love so much, and honestly I wouldn't have found if it wasn't for me starting my job at GameStop back in the day, because back when I started at GameStop in 2008 originally, when I was fresh out of high school, they had just recently ported Chrono Trigger to the DS, and so I never had heard of Chrono Trigger before then. Had no clue what it was, never really played any RPGs. And so we had the privilege to rent games and stuff, whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna take this game home from work, try it out. And I borrowed it like a couple of times back to back to back. And then eventually it kind of came down to it of like, okay, I'm reaching the end of my rental period from work. Obviously, when I take it back, it's gotta get wiped so we can sell it as new. But I was like, no, I'm enjoying these characters so much. I got to continue going. So I bought the game, whatever. But that's like another important part of my connection to his art, his work. And then, of course, we have the upcoming Sandland adaptation, where we're getting an anime series. And we're also getting a video game, I believe later this month, if not in April. And so I'm definitely interested in checking those out. I know that the manga is already out. It's an older series. But it's going to be kind of cool to see, you know, this series that is going to be new to me, as well as the Dragon Ball, I think it's Daima series, is coming out later this year as well. But there are just like so many touchstones with me and Dragon Ball as a whole. Like I mentioned, I'm wearing a freaking Dragon Ball Z shirt, a jacket. I got plenty of other t-shirts and stuff. My middle son, he started watching it a while back. He enjoys it. That was like a topic of conversation, and how a lot of friendships started back in the day growing up, because it was like, okay, and I'm from a very small country town. You know, didn't really even know or understand what anime was, but we all knew this was something different, and that the style and stuff of Dragon Ball just spoke to a lot of us and created that bond, that friendship between me and a lot of people growing up. And I was even thinking back to when my son Vash was born, 2017. That was like the height of Dragon Ball Super that year, because it was like, okay, you know, Dragon Ball Z being kind of gone as far as like new material for a very long time. And so, you know, we started finally getting these movies and stuff, whatever, you know, Battle of Gods, Resurrection F and stuff. And then we get a Dragon Ball Super TV series. And then the year my son was born, you know, we're getting Ultra Instinct. We're getting Goku versus Jiren. And I had looked it up just to double check, whatever. The weekend after my son was born, because Vash was born on a Wednesday, that Saturday, that following episode of Dragon Ball Super was Goku versus, I believe it was Kefka. The episode where she does like the big energy wave at him, and he flips over it and just like Kamehameha just right in her face. Like, I was like, yo, this is the first thing I saw after becoming a dad. You know, holding my newborn baby and stuff. But yeah, it is just so many memorable moments of taking my nephews and nieces to go see some of the other Dragon Ball movies and stuff. Like I said, Battle of Gods, Resurrection F, like many years prior to me becoming a father and having my own family and stuff. It was definitely something that I bonded with my, especially my nephews and stuff on. But yeah, man, Toriyama, definitely going to miss him and his, seeing his new creations, but we know that his work will live forever, you know, throughout all these great series and stuff that he has, given us. So yeah, man, I just can't really say enough things about it. Like I said, it's rough, shocking, unexpected. But rest in peace, Toriyama. Your series was so magical, so memorable, and yeah, I can't really say too much more beyond that. So, but like I said, I definitely think I'm be checking out the Sandland anime, and like I said, maybe even the game potentially down the line. Don't know. But yeah, man, y'all let me know what are y'all thoughts, what are y'all memories and stuff of Dragon Ball and just everything Akira Toriyama has done. Like, how did his works and stuff, did they touch you, or, you know, do they have an impact on your life and you becoming an anime fan or manga fan or gamer, whatever the case may be, whatever. But yeah, just very, very sad, very tragic. So, yeah. don't know how to really pivot from that too much. But I guess just kind of going from there a little bit, you know, just kind of touching on a little bit, because I'm a save Dune 2 for a little bit. And I want to just touch on a little bit of like some stuff I've been watching, reading, playing, just some quick thoughts on stuff. And I'm trying to think where to even start. So I guess I'll just shout out real quick. I've been playing the game Pentiment. Now, this is a game from one of the directors of the Outer Worlds and stuff like that, Josh Sawyer. And it is definitely a very different, very unique type of game. So Pentiment is basically, it's kind of described as a step into a living illustrated world in a time when Europe is at a crossroads of great religious and political change. Walk in the footsteps of Andres Mahler, a master artist who finds himself in the middle of murders, scandals, and intrigue in the Bavarian Alps. So, like I said, the game definitely has like very unique art style, but like I said, it is super story and character driven. And so it has been a game that I've kind of like slowly been chipping away at playing, for the most part, like before bed, because I'm playing it on my PlayStation Portal, which once again, that device is just truly what I need, so I can just like right before bed, just chill in bed, play it on the freaking beautiful screen, especially with the way the art style and stuff is for that game. But yeah, it has been very intriguing. And I just got to the part where the murder happened, and so now I'm kind of starting the path of trying to put clues together to solve it and things like that. So, but yeah, Pentiment, it's been like very interesting. It's on everything. So it was originally Xbox exclusive, but it was one of those games that they recently brought to everything. So it was on PS4, PS5, Nintendo Switch. It was already on PC, but yeah, so I got it on PS5, and like I said, just been mainly playing it on my PlayStation Portal handheld and stuff. So, but yeah, so that's kind of like what I've mainly been playing game wise. TV wise, where do I start? I finally checked out that show Shogun. I can't remember if I had talked about that or not. And I know there's a new episode, I think, coming out tonight or whatever, but I'll watch it whenever I get to it later in the week. But this show is pretty much a robber type of show, just like it's Japan, samurai, the timepiece era, all that stuff. I am like, this is the type of stuff that I live for. You know, you got like I said, samurai, you got political scheming, assassinating happening. Let me see, set in Japan in the year of 1600, your Lord Yoshi Torunaga is fighting for his life as his enemies on the Council of Regents unite against him when a mysterious European ship is found marooned in a nearby fishing village. So, from my understanding, this is based off of a book or a novel or something like that. And it's going to be a limited series, just one season, that they plan to adapt the whole original book or whatever. But I am fine with that. Hey, I am cool with just like a short series that is just to the point. But yeah, Shogun, been really enjoying it. And it makes me even more excited for Rise of the Ronin comes out in a couple of weeks, which once again, Japan, samurai, shady stuff, that is my type of stuff. So I'm looking forward to playing that in a couple of weeks. I know a lot of reviewers and stuff have the game already, and they got to post some early impressions of the game today, which, let me see real quick, if I can find the notes about it. This is from the Twitter account I follow, Kami. Rise of the Ronin has own previews are dropping. Some positives are, it's, people are saying it's a mix of like Assassin's Creed, Neo, and Sekiro. Large open world, fun traversal with glider and grapple hook. Good performance with three visual modes, great art design. Difficulty options, you know, but the overall visuals are kind of eh. But, yeah, you get to create your own character. And, story choices. So, yeah. So, I'm definitely, like I said, definitely very interested in picking up that game. Speaking of games coming out soon, I'm not going to play this, but just for those of y'all that are interested in it, Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out the same day as Rise of the Ronin, so March 22nd. And they put out a character creation demo for Dragon's Dogma 2. So, if you want to go ahead and start tinkering around with the character creator, they have that available. It is very extensive. Like, I've seen people already made freaking Heisenberg from Breaking Bad. I've seen Handsome Squidward. I've seen the main character from Dune. Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Like, so many crazy character creators and stuff, whatever. So that's available for free, and you can create your main character and all your like servants or pawns or whatever, and that'll carry over for when you start the real game. So that's very dope. Speaking of demos, I am very sad, but they supposedly accidentally released a demo for Stellar Blade early on Friday or whatever, and then they took it down and they locked access to it or whatever. But some people were lucky enough to download the demo and to play it. It was like a couple of hours long or whatever, and I've heard great things about it, and I'm like, man, I can't wait for that game. That's coming at the end of April. But that's it for that stuff. The other show that I've been watching is a show on Apple TV. Oh, so Shogun is on Hulu, just for those of y'all that are interested. The other show I've been watching is a show that's on Apple TV, and it's called Constellation. And so this show basically follows a astronaut who seems to kind of be dealing with like some like parallel world / timeline stuff. A lot of people are saying it kind of gives them some vibes from the video game Returnal that came out a couple of years ago. But it's a little bit trippy and confusing sometimes, but it's still intriguing enough because, like I said, the main character, like I said, she's an astronaut. A situation went wrong when they were up on the space station, and everybody but her had to escape on the first shuttle, and then she had to come on the second one. So she's up there with like 19 hours or whatever worth of oxygen left, and so she had to kind of basically repair this last escape shuttle or whatever. And so she starts hallucinating, thinking she's seeing things, whatever. But as the show is going on, you're seeing that not just her, but there's some other people that are also experiencing some parallel world dimension stuff, whatever. So, like I said, I don't know. It's intriguing enough to me that's got my interest. So, yeah, that's Constellation. What else? Let me see real quick. Hold on. Okay. Last couple of things, but like I said, before I get to Dune 2, I started reading Dorohedoro manga, just because that's one I want to like knock off my list and like give a shot, because it's already complete. It's under 200 chapters. I think it's like 168 chapters, I believe. And so I'm kind of want to start to like knock out some of these completed series or whatever before I just continue diving into stuff that's still new or ongoing or whatever. So I'm still fairly early. I think I'm maybe like chapter 6 or 7 or whatever. I did watch a good chunk of the anime many years ago, but I don't recall a lot of it. And like I said, I don't think I ever finished it. And I've been really enjoying the author's newer series, Die Dark. And so I was like, you know what, let me go back and give this a fair shake. So I've been kind of slowly chipping away at that. Most of the time at night before I go to bed, after I finish like playing a game like Pentiment or whatever, I'll lay there, read a little bit before as I go to sleep or whatever. But so I started Dorohedoro, and I'm curious to see where that goes. And the other thing that I finished reading last week, because I just wanted to be done with this series, and that is Mashle Magic and Muscle, or Magic and Might. I can't remember what the full name of the manga is, but the Mashle manga, because that finished a ways ago. And so it was a slog. Real talk, it was a slog to get through, because the art of the series, real good. And like the visuals, the panels and stuff, for the action, the fights and stuff, whatever, great visuals. The gags and stuff with Mashle and stuff like that or whatever, like the absurd things he is doing, like he freaking caught a sword with his eyelids, like somebody about to like cut his eyes and he caught the blade with his eyelids. That's funny. That is classic Mashle. That is what I enjoyed starting the series, you know, years ago, whatever. But it is the points, and of course, you know, I know, of course, it is supposed to be satirical and stuff, whatever. But it felt like there were certain points, especially in this final arc, which is pretty long, where it felt like they were trying to have like serious moments, character backstories, or whatever, not for Mashle, but like some of these other side characters, or whatever. And it's like, I do not care about you. I barely even know who you are. Don't try to throw in this backstory or whatever. It just didn't matter. And then there was a couple of times where Mashle got taken out of the story for stupid reasons for way too long. And it was like, okay, because that was happening at the time when I had stopped reading a long time ago. And so we kind of got to the moment where Mashle comes back. I'm like, okay, cool. We back in it. We got the jokes. It's funny. And then not long after, within like 10 chapters or so, whatever, he's out again. And I'm like, really? Really? Another dumb reason to take him out of commission or whatever. So I don't know. Like, so overall, it was okay. Definitely not something I'm probably going to ever have much fond memory of. Like I said, aside from the art was really good. And I would be down to see the mangaka come back with a new series and maybe try to put this art with just something else or whatever. Like, if it's going to try to do another funny series or whatever, hey, stick to it or whatever. But if you're going to try to do a serious story or whatever, hey, stick to it and go for it or whatever. So, but I don't know. That's just my general thoughts on Mashle. So, it is what it is. So, lastly, I want to talk about Dune 2. Man, Dune Part 2. It has been a while since a movie has stuck with me the way that this movie did. And I feel like this one even more so than the last one that came out in October 2021. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, I've already seen this movie twice. Part of me wanted to go see it a third time today. But I was like, no, I'm gonna try to show some restraint. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point I go and see this movie again. Because I saw it at first in IMAX, and then I saw it again in like the Dolby theater thing or whatever. And so, yeah, this movie just continues to stick out in my mind. Now, I've mentioned before, years ago when I did my episode talking about the last movie, it was entitled, I think it was A Peace in Dune. And something about this movie, once again, like the sights, the sounds, all of it, the characters, just really, really sit with me. So much so, there is a particular scene, like later in the movie, that I've recorded on my phone for myself, and I've been watching it on replay over and 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 over again, just several times throughout the day, every day since I went the other day. And I might get into like some mild spoilers, but nothing too much, because so I haven't read any of the books for Dune. I never watched any of the like the older movies or whatever. My only experience with the Dune is this current adaptation of it. And so I know that there will be at least one more movie. I guess it's based off of like the Dune Messiah books or something or whatever. But this movie truly, truly stuck with me in a way. Kind of like how, honestly, last year, Oppenheimer stuck with me in a certain way. Dune Part 2 has done the same. And to see the rise of Paul in this movie, from where he was in the last movie to basically embracing his role, embracing his destiny, starting his own legacy, which I thought was kind of fitting. A new legend begins in this for me when another legend, Akira Toriyama, passes in a way, but it's just like the rise of legends. And the part that stuck with me the most, like I said, that I captured for myself, was the scene when Paul is talking to, I guess, the council, I think is what it's called. And it's basically after he drank the poison and he basically fully awakened. And he can see the past, he can see the future, he can see all these timelines and stuff, whatever. And I love, like even before this, whatever, like that one moment where he's like looking at his hand and he's like, I see all these futures where our enemies prevail, but I do see a way, a narrow pathway, a narrow way forward. And that leading into, like I said, the speech in front of the gathering, the council, of where they're telling him to kill his mentor, and he's like, no, like why would I kill somebody that is good, somebody that we can use, that is needed or whatever? And then when he starts with the, I am pointing the way, and his mother's like, is whispering like, slow down. And then basically he is like, there's nobody in here that can stand up to me. And everybody's standing up, pulling out the blades and stuff, ready to go at him. And then he just start mentally dissecting these people, goes up to this one dude, and it's just basically like, or he tells everybody before then, he's like your mother's told you of my coming, fear the moment. And when he goes to the first dude, looks him in the eyes and just starts mentally breaking him down, talking about, you know, you're afraid, you're praying, you know, what if I am the one, what if this is the moment you've all been praying for? And then he just starts going into like super specific details about like, you've been praying to your grandmother. She died 9 moons ago. She lost her eye when she was 12, when she was crossing the belt, back when the planet had a Freeman name, Dune. And the guy looked, and then immediately him and everybody around him just bowed down. And he was this other dude, was like, in your nightmares, you dream of da-da-da-da-da. He's like, oh, start bowing down or whatever. And then he pulls out the ring, and just, it felt like his voice just got like so much deeper and boisterous. But he's like, this is my father's ducal signet. You know, I am Paul Wadib Atreides, you know, Duke of Arrakis, you know, by the, you know, basically like God is my witness, you know, I'm the one, da 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 da. And just that moment alone just gave me so many chills. But just all throughout this movie, there were just so many amazing moments. Of course, when they were on, I think it's called the Hurricane Planet or whatever, the one that was kind of like negative, like under like the black sun, where everything was just like all black and white. The way that looked was stunning. And it was just like, yo, this is a incredible scene. The guy who was like the main kind of like villain or antagonist dude or whatever, was, I liked his character or whatever. Yeah, man, it was just so many amazing moments. The first time, Paul rides the sandworm and stuff, whatever. And it's just like, you know, he calls it, and then everybody's freaking out because they're like, oh my God, this is, it's too big. You know, we called in one that is too big, but he tames that mud effort and rises, and just like being in the theater and just like the trembling of the moment, man. It just, man, was just so good. And then, of course, the final fight and showdown. Man. Man, man, man. Dune Part 2. Simply fantastic. That is like the best way I can sum it up. And like I said, I will likely go and see it again. And I was thinking that this movie is one that I could see, if nobody else, my middle son being into this type of sci-fi. But I'm gonna wait till he's a little bit older, because he's only 11. So I think I'm gonna, yeah, maybe in a few years, maybe by the time the next movie is coming out, he'll be old enough, and we'll do a binge watch of Part 1, Part 2, and then maybe we'll go see Part 3 together. Who knows? But yeah, man, Dune Part 2. Truly, truly something special, man. Yeah. I can't really say too much more of it than that, but yeah, like I said, like it's been a while since a movie not only stuck with me this much, but to where I was like, man, I need to go see that again immediately. And I did that. I used to do that back in the day. Like, I went and saw freaking Inception like a million times in the theaters with, you know, multiple different friend groups. Every time it was like somebody was like, hey, I'm finally free, I can go, I want to go see Inception. I'm like, hey, you need somebody to go with you? I'll go again. That's how I feel with this movie. And I have a lot more going on in life than I did 10 plus years ago when Inception came out. So it's like my time is already limited as is to go out and see movies. So the fact that I've made time to go see it twice, and that I'm probably going to go see it again soon, just is a testament to this movie. But yeah, I am very excited to see what is to come with this Dune Messiah, and see what type of purpose or what type of person Paul evolves into, and especially now rising to potentially being emperor, and just all this other stuff that comes with that territory of the things that he's done and the position he's ascended to. Yeah, I look forward to seeing more Dune in many years to come. All right, so I think the last thing I want to touch on quickly, and this is just a shout out. Most of the stuff I don't really don't care about, but just for general information sake, whatever. The Oscars was last night, and so I kind of want to give a little shout out to and just kind of go down the list of winners and stuff that happened at the Oscars last night. Sorry, I had my mic muted. One of the other interesting things about these lists, of course, is kind of like, okay, what other stuff on here had I either just not seen or just or maybe not even heard of that I want to put on my radar? So that's also a thing that's kind of interesting about these award shows and stuff. So just running down the list from the top to bottom, how they have it on discussing film. Best Picture went to Oppenheimer. Best Actor, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer. Best Actress, Emma Stone, Poor Things. That was a good and interesting movie. I talked about it a while back. Best Supporting Actress, Divine Joy Randolph, The Holdovers. That's one I want to check out at some point. Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer. Best Director, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer. Original screenplay, Arthur Tarari and Justine Triet, Anatomy of the Fall, never heard of that. Adapted screenplay by Corey Jefferson, American Fiction, that was a good one that I enjoyed. Animated feature, this got a lot of people hot, but The Boy and the Heron won. Documentary, 20 Days in Mirapol. International feature, The Zone of Interest, United Kingdom. For editing, Jennifer Lame, Oppenheimer. Cinematography, Lord. Hoyt van Jotem, Oppenheimer. Original score, Ludwig for Oppenheimer. Production design, Poor Things. Costume design, Poor Things. Visual effects, Godzilla Minus One. Yes, I was so happy to see Godzilla Minus One get some type of recognition here. Super dope. Sound, The Zone of Interest, which I need to look into what that is. Makeup and hairstyling, Poor Things. Original songs, from Barbie. Live action short, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, never heard of it. Documentary short, The Last Repair Shop. Want to check that out? That's like on YouTube. I think it's like 20 or 40 minutes long. And animated short, War is Over. So yeah, that's everything from the Oscars this year. So yeah, I don't think I got anything else I wanted to touch on this week. Like I said, it's just been, life has been lifing, and like I said, just, you know, dealing with my own form of stress with, you know, the sports stuff with my kids, and, you know, it's like a good stress, I guess, in some way, to where it's like, it's because of something positive, but still, it's just like, is this a window into potential things to come, in the coming years and stuff, so, but we'll see. And of course, I'll continue to talk and share my adventures and stories with y'all, just in case, hey, maybe there's another parent or person out there who is maybe starting to get into the sports stuff, or that are just interested in just hearing about this stuff, whatever. That's why I do this show, that's why I talk, to just, hey, maybe something I'm saying will connect with somebody out there. But yeah, so I think that's gonna do it. Let me look at my little notes to see if there is anything else. Yeah, that is it. So I think I'm gonna wrap it up there, a little under an hour. It's just now 11 o'clock, so I still got some time to maybe play a little bit of a game or read some manga. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to do something, because like I mentioned before, in my last episode about finding me time versus, you know, creative anxiety and all that stuff, I'm really trying to do better about, hey, here's the space, here's the time, all this stuff, whatever. So, but, you know, we shall see how this all goes, how this all plays out. But yeah, like I said, next episode will hopefully be the anniversary episode. So look forward to that. And with that, I am out. Thank you so much for watching and or listening. You can find me everywhere at Dad Needs to Talk. Like I said, let me know what you thought of the passing of Akira Toriyama and about Dune 2 and anything else that I discussed today. And I hope y'all have an awesome day or week. And as I always say, treat yourself to something nice. Read some manga. Watch some anime, TV, and movies. Play some video games. And of course, live your best life and take care of yourself. And with that, I am done. Y'all be awesome. I'll catch y'all on the next one. Rest in peace. Toriyama. Peace.